This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. Good morning. It's right
afternoon.
No,
it's afternoon. As soon as it hits midday, it's afternoon.
It's 15 seconds past the hour. Good afternoon. My name is Nick Helm, and this is
Nathaniel Metcalf.
And you are listening to Nick and
Matt's Fan Club.
First rule of Fan Club:
Tell your friends about Fan Club.
Second rule of Fan Club: Please tell your friends about Fan Club. We're literally getting three retweets.
They weren't retweets, Nick. They were favourites.
Three favourites. And one like.
One of them was me.
I'm gonna level with you. It's a pretty niche club.
It is. But you're all welcome.
Please, be welcome. Anyway, so Fan Club is a show where me and Nathaniel Metcalf, old friends, we've known each other for,
I'd say over 10 years, about 10 years?
I'd say 12 years.
12 years.
I think we started doing Richard Sandling's Club.
Yeah, something like that.
But it's not about us, it's about mindless tat. And, so this is a show that's really about pop culture, and there's got to be a more concise way of describing it. But later on, we're going to be joined by our guest journalist Hayley Campbell, and she's actually here today, Joel Dommett. So that's how you do it, mate. What have you been up to this week, Nat?
What have I been into? I'll tell you what I've been enjoying. I've been enjoying a very English scandal on BBC One.
Oh yeah,
with Hugh Grant.
That's a TV show, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I'm a big fan of Hugh Grant. Do you like Hugh Grant, Nick?
I do. I love Hugh Grant.
I think it's very difficult to do that light comedy stuff well, and I think he does it incredibly well.
Yeah, he does do it very well. Yes. This is basically what the show is. Do you like Hugh Grant? Yeah, I like Hugh Grant. He does do that well. He does. What's your favourite Hugh Grant film?
Oh, that's a good one. I quite like it when he's a bit of a dick in films.
Yeah.
So I quite like About a Boy.
Yeah.
I like Four Weddings and a Funeral. Love it.
Yep.
Love it. I think he's often unserviced by some films that aren't terribly good.
Sure.
But I think he's often very good in them.
Yeah.
Big fan of Grant.
Sure. I met Andy McDowell this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was through circumstances, which was, odd. Because Four Winds and the Funeral is obviously a classic.
Yeah.
And Groundhog Day is one of my all-time favourite films. And Green Card.
Multiplicity.
Was my mum's favourite film. She's in Multiplicity as well. I didn't even think of Multiplicity. I'm very excited talking about it, but I texted my friend who's working with her, and she texted me back, and I'd been in the middle of watching Hudson Hawk, which Andy McDowell's in, and Andy McDowell did an extract of it for me.
Really?
Yeah. It was a big moment in my life. Anyway, so Hugh Grant, your favourite film would be Four Winds and a Funeral,
yeah,
or
probably.
About a Boy.
Yeah.
See, I really like what's the one? Music and Lyrics.
Oh yeah, I love it.
I think that it's kind of like he obviously made these classic romantic comedies where he was working with Richard Curtis, and you got Notting Hill, and you got About a Boy, and he was in Bridget Jones, and he did Four Winds and a Funeral. These feel like really classic films. And then he made a string of kind of like
sort of lesser second tier romantic comedies.
Second tier, very formulaic, kind of like B-movie romantic comedies where you have stuff like Did You Hear About the Morgans, mm-hmm. Music and Lyrics. There was 2 Weeks Notice.
2 Weeks Notice, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, and Music and Lyrics is kind of like, it's not a great film.
It almost is,
but it doesn't seem to quite have enough budget to pull off what they're trying to do.
No.
So it just feels very cheap, but it's got an excellent Hugh Grant performance in
it. Yeah, he sort of plays a sort of kind of George Michael. He's not even George Michael, is he? He's Andrew Ridgeley, isn't he?
I think he's Andrew Ridgeley.
He's been in a Wham type band in the 80s.
He's both members of Wham because he's both the creative driving force and also the forgotten about secondary member. Although, a big fan of Andrew Ridgeley.
Are you? Well, yeah, we love him.
I mean, I don't want to be negative about anyone on this show. I feel my whole life is filled with negativity.
Well, that's it. That's the thing about the show, isn't it? We're not trying to be negative, Nick. We're trying to be positive.
But it's got like two or three really great songs that Hugh Grant sang in it. The band was, oh, come on, you got to type faster than that. The band was called Pop, and there was a song at the beginning in the film.
Pop Goes My Heart, was it?
Pop Goes My Heart was the name of the song. We should play it. Can we get it up? Yeah, brilliant. And it was really good. And it's Hugh Grant singing it, and he's obviously auto-tuned the fuck out of. And Drew Barrymore plays the other character in it, and she's great, really great film. I wouldn't say it was my would I say it was my favourite Hugh Grant?
What's it up against?
Lair of the White Worm.
Oh yeah, sure.
But have you seen that though?
Yeah, I've seen it.
That's crazy.
It is.
That's
mental.
A crazy film. But
Ken Russell,
and it's completely different from what I was expecting it to be. But
it's a very good sort of teenage boy film. Though it used to be a sort of late night Channel 4 one.
By that you mean?
It's a bit rude.
Lots of nudity.
A bit rude.
I watched it quite recently, and I got just as much out of it as I think I would have done had I watched it 27 years ago. I don't know how old I am. I'd have been 10.
What have you been enjoying this week, Nick?
So what was you enjoying? You were enjoying...
Oh, a Very English Handle.
Yeah, and it's worth it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm sort of like behind the times.
Well, I'm not really. I'm not a big TV watcher, but I was a big fan of Hugh Grant. Hugh. I've got to remember to say my H's in the Hughes.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant.
Otherwise it's...
I just say Hugh Grant, Hugh Grant.
Right. No, I don't really watch a lot of... I said last week that I just watch cookery shows. But one of the things that I'm trying to catch up with, you know, I've got my finger on the pulse. I'm going through all of the telly. I'm up to season 2 of Mad About You at the moment. I'm really enjoying that.
Oh, yeah.
Mad About You was a film in the... It was a TV show in the 90s starring Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser. What happened was I watched season 2 of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And I realised how much I love Paul Reiser.
Yeah. Do you like My Two Dads?
I'm saving that for after I finish with Mad About You. But Paul Reiser was one of the doctors, played the main doctor in Stranger Things Part 2. And I wasn't a big fan of the first series, but then I enjoyed the second series because I sort of settled into the fact that it was just a load of callbacks to other better films. But Paul Reiser was in it, and I think the idea was that you were meant to think he was like a shady character. But this is a spoiler, really, isn't it? You're meant to think that he's a shady character because of
aliens.
So the reason he's in it is because of aliens. And you're meant to go, oh, he's going to be up to no good. But, he's a really likeable guy. And, I watched Aliens, rewatched Aliens, and I've always been an Alien fan.
Yes, yeah.
Don't have a lot of time for Aliens.
I'm similar.
Rewatched Aliens. And when you, like, take into account that it's a completely different thing from the first one, then, you know, Alien is, like, a very kind of artistically directed, naturalistically performed... haunted house horror movie.
That's a haunted house in space.
It's a haunted house in space. I really love it. And Aliens, when you watch them back to back, the tonal shift is something that I can't really get my head around. The fact that now everyone speaks in one-liners, and I don't mind the fact that it's a genre switch. I think that's like the clever right thing to do. Because you can't just remake Alien.
Yeah, sure.
But I've never really got on that well with Aliens. But I watched it again recently, really loved it.
I like the fact you've seen Paul Reiser in Stranger Things and you followed it up by going, I'll watch the entire career of Paul Reiser.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like he's one of those guys that isn't... he's probably having a bit of a resurgence at the moment.
Yeah.
I've started following him on Twitter, and he's sort of interesting on Twitter and a nice guy. But he was also in that One Night at McCall's.
Oh, yes.
Where he was playing the sex pervert guy in it. And it's kind of like, it's such a big change, because obviously he was doing Mad About You around about the same time. And it's such a big change from playing like the likeable New York lead in a family sitcom. Well, it's not really a family sitcom. It's quite risque sometimes for the 90s. Mad About You might be coming back. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Boner alert. We should have a, we should have a thing. Why are you... Oh, and he's also in Red Oaks. Okay, I'm going to get there. These are all very contemporary things, though, and I'm really trying to get through his 90s output.
My only reference for Man About You was it had a crossover episode
Mad About You.
Matt about you.
Mad.
That's what I said. I think it's just my funny voice.
You said man.
Mad about you was had a crossover with Friends, didn't it?
Yeah, because Ursula, who is Phoebe's identical twin, plays the waitress in the cafe.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, isn't it? It's part of that Timothy Westphal multiverse. Have you seen that, where all American TV crosses over so much that you can work out that all TV is connected to each other?
Oh, really? Because ER had a cameo in, you know, Doctor. I don't know if he was playing Dr. Ross, but George Clooney came in the early series, and Caroline in the City as well, Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
Is it Leah or Lee?
Leah? May I actually? Do you know what? I don't know.
I'm going to say Leah.
I'm going to say Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's nice to have differences.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to say. It seems like a punctuation, doesn't it? And what else? What, we're coming up to 10 past 12. What can we fill in for this before we get our guest in? Should we just play a song?
We can play a song and bring our guest on. Yeah, what are we going to play first?
We're going to play I'm Down by Aerosmith, cover version from the Beatles.
Lovely.
I don't know if that's the right way to introduce that.
You telling lies thinking I can't see. You can't cry because you're laughing at me.
Radio presents
Ian Boltzlaff.
And we're joined now by Bobby Crush.
Hurrah!
Hello, sir.
Yes.
In the flesh. You know, at this stage in my life, you know, to be given something like this, you know, this is my 64th year.
In you know, I've just,
No.
No. Started when you were 20.
Oh, rude.
No, I thought you were a child star.
No, I've just turned 64.
Okay.
Thank you very much. How rude.
Oh, this is what you should never talk about. This is what you should never talk about.
Every Monday.
Ian Boltzlaff.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome back. That's what we say when we get back.
Yes.
Yeah. Alright, good. You're looking at me like you can't see
this
at home, but Nathaniel's looking at me like I've done something really wrong.
No, I've got to look at Nick.
And now Natalie's come in. And I mean, I didn't press that button in the first place, Natalie. My mic wasn't live. That was the problem. That was why too many cooks. Now, we're joined in the studio now by journalist Hayley Campbell.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you like to be referred to as a journalist, Hayley?
I feel a bit like a fraud.
A fraud?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not.
Would you prefer the term writer?
No, that's even more pretentious.
What would you like to be called?
I really don't know. I have no idea, but we'll go with journalist.
Pop cultural expert extraordinaire.
Well, when you were talking about Aliens 2, do you know what my first thought was?
Aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Fuck. Aliens. So I was watching bits the other day, and I think an underrated bit of Aliens is when it zooms in on Sigourney's underpants and a bit of her pubes are sticking out.
When's that? I watched it on Blu-ray recently.
Well, it should be in HD. It's when she's getting out of the pod.
What's the difference
between
HD? Because
she's got grey underpants.
She does.
Aliens,
they all have quite grey.
She's got white pants in the first one.
Oh, do they? So it's a continuity error.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, maybe they've just changed.
Well, that's
what, are they in stasis-y thing?
She was in stasis.
Well, she's in the pod.
Mm. I'd be suspicious if I was Sigourney if I walked out. Hang on, what's happened here? Someone's taking my underpants off and replaced them with a new pair.
I did have surgery once and woke up with no pants on.
I know you do.
I did have them when I went in.
You've told me this story, and it's a disturbing story.
We've known each other for too long. I've got no new stories.
Do you want to, I mean...
Well, you can, but it feels like, what happened? But
no,
the answer can only be
grim. I had knee surgery when I was 15.
Knee surgery?
Yeah.
So nowhere around?
Nowhere now. Well,
nowhere would need.
It's in the lower areas, but I went in under general.
The knee?
Yeah.
Right. we're learning here, just guys.
General anaesthetic. Yeah. Went in, knocked out, had pants on, woke up, no pants on at all.
That's... okay.
Well, exactly.
Okay. And I think... Let's just keep it light, Hayley. Let's keep it light. But on that subject, you went into surgery... And you had pants on, and then you wake up and you didn't have pants on. That's a little bit like in The Empire Strikes Back, isn't it? When Han Solo's got handcuffs on, and then he gets put in carbonite.
Yes.
And then the next thing is he's got his hands up.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
So
right.
It's jazz hands.
It's a bit like that.
It's exactly like
that. So we've managed to make that nerdy, so that's okay.
Yes. We've saved it. What was once disturbing is now...
There was a Seinfeld episode where he went under a general anaesthetic.
Yeah.
At the dentist and woke up with his shirt untucked, and he wasn't sure if it was tucked when he went in.
Okay. Well, this is it, isn't it? Because me and you like... Do you like Seinfeld, Nick?
Yeah, I do like Seinfeld.
I find that everything in my life, when I go, oh, that's a thing, it's always been an episode of Seinfeld, isn't it?
Yeah,
anything
nothing,
that's ever happened to you.
Nothing we've ever done is new. And if Seinfeld doesn't cover it, then Curb Your Enthusiasm does.
Yeah.
So Larry like David's just got all of us.
I do prefer Curb Your Enthusiasm. But that's only because I think it's more recent and Seinfeld hasn't aged as well as it could have.
It does look quite 90s-y, doesn't it?
A lot of the plots wouldn't have existed if people just had mobile phones.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I did grow up watching Seinfeld. You remember, they couldn't find a time slot for it. BBC
yes,
Two.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it would be on at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Over here, it's like a cult show, isn't it, Seinfeld? Because it would never be on, like, it was only ever, like, it was on some nights at midnight, if you remember to watch it, or there wasn't football or some sporting event on.
Only people like you saw it. Whereas where I grew
what
up
do you
in
mean?
Australia.
What do you mean, people like me?
where I grew up, they play it.
What, part of the fan club?
Yeah. The cool guys?
Yeah. Who grew up to have radio shows.
Exactly.
Exactly. All of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool guys. They watched it.
Only the cool guys.
Watched it then, yeah. But you grew up in Australia.
Yes. And they play it. They used to have a. They'd repeat an episode at 7 and then do a new episode on Wednesdays at 7:30. So everybody saw it. And then I came over here and realized that when something happens in your life, you can't just say, oh, it was like that episode of Seinfeld where this happened. You actually had to explain yourself and tell full stories, and it was a complete pain in the ass. Until I got a job in the comic shop and met, you know...
People like me.
People
cool
like
guys.
You.
Cool guys like me. Yeah. Yes, I used to work with Hayley for 5 years.
Yes, and that
was
my
boss.
We both
worked in a comic book shop.
Ultimate nerd.
You were Hayley's boss?
I was Hayley's boss. Oh, yeah. Well, look at me.
Imagine.
Because you retired this week, didn't
I've retired, yeah, I've retired from the world of comics.
You're wearing a Madman shirt.
I am, so I haven't strictly retired. I'm still keeping it real for the kids.
Anyway, Eddie, what have you been up to this week? Well, what are you up to at the moment?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm avoiding writing a book by watching Frasier from the beginning.
Oh, no. I mean, that's a show I can't get behind. That was a show that everyone was like, oh, it's very intellectual, isn't it? It's very clever and intellectual. It's not really. The jokes are the same jokes that you'd get in any sitcom, but they're just referencing opera.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there was a wanking joke the other day that referenced Rachmaninoff.
Exactly.
I mean, just
exactly.
Fuck off, Frasier. But then,
but that's how much I'm avoiding a book.
Right. Okay. Oh no. That's that, yeah. Right. Okay. Fine. But you should go back and watch Cheers. You know, the prequel to Frasier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just find out where it all began.
If you watch it afterwards, you can see how it all links up.
That's where you got the headphones from. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. So you're here to talk about...
some of your favourite things.
Some of your favourite things. I was trying to explain that we've been describing it as a bit like the opposite of Room 101. Uh-huh. And then someone pointed out to me, it's more like... Desert Island Discs,
but which the same is as that.
Already yeah. a radio
but
show.
But you're not limiting people.
We're not limiting people.
You're
Desert
not saying
Island Discs.
This is the only one you're allowed to take.
Exactly.
To the also, I like the idea because the internet is full of pricks saying this is bad and this is shit.
Exactly.
And Vice is just full of negativity and meanness.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas this is just nice.
Just talking
so
about things we like.
Except I don't like Frasier.
I don't like Frasier, but I'm allowed to have that opinion, and you're allowed to love it, even though you didn't come on saying that you love Frasier.
No, so I just said that's the thing I'm doing.
That's something that you're watching.
I'm still making my mind up.
But I tell you what, if you push through the first season of Mad About You, you will come to love those characters. It's very smug, the first series. But okay, so Hayley, why don't you tell us what your favourite TV show is?
Well, Seinfeld was my favourite TV show.
I was it. Oh, was that what it was going to be?
That was going to be.
Oh,
fuck that! Sorry.
What else do you like about Seinfeld? I think I'm increasingly becoming George.
Yeah.
The older I get.
Well, I like to think I'm Elaine, but I'm definitely George.
Okay. But if you were a Frasier character, which one would you be, Nick?
I would be Newman. No, not Newman. I'd be Kramer.
Hey, you sent me an interesting thing this week, Nick.
Oh yeah, the thing about do you know this? Do you know the little Easter egg that they put in Jurassic Park? Is that all of Wayne Knight?
Wayne Knight, who played Newman
on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Wayne Knight played Newman on Seinfeld, yeah. And it was Dennis Nedry in Jurassic Park.
That's fan club.
more like Dennis Nerdy.
Yeah,
his costumes he starts off wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and then he wears a grey sort of anorak, and then at the end he's wearing like this yellow mac, and those are the three of the costumes that the kids wear in the Goonies.
Which is also a Spielberg film.
Oh, what a dork.
It is. It's sort of too much.
That's
it almost,
too much. No, yeah, why, I don't like it. It's too
it's
self-referential.
Sort of like, why would you do that?
Yeah. No, don't like it.
At first, it's sort of like my mind exploded. I was just like, that's kind of... And then the minute I put any thought into it, I thought, that's awful. It makes me actually like Jurassic Park slightly less. I always hated the Goonies.
I hate the Goonies. Anytime I mention I like a film on Twitter, a bunch of men, and they're usually in their 40s, will say, yeah, but is it as good as The Goonies? This is constant. There are two films I hate mentioning on Twitter. One is Dune, because people will tell me I didn't understand Dune, and the reason I think Dune is a shit film is because...
The David Lynch?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. I watched it recently.
It's famously awful.
It's a great film. Great film, too.
Are you just being contrary?
No, I love it.
Why do you love it?
Because it's got Freddie Jones in it, going, it's grand. Grand Fafir. He does that's how he talks. He's like that in The Elephant Man as well. I like him in any film. I think he's got a great combination of British character actors and Sting.
You can like a performance, but the film is...
It's definitely a flawed film, but I do like it. I couldn't watch it.
Did I see it with you?
Yeah, you saw it with me.
I think it's really disappointing because it starts off really amazing. I think that first scene when they bring out the thing in the tank of water, and you just go, wow, this is going to be great. I can't believe that this is. And then it's sort of like a bit like The Dark Crystal, a film that I've never sat all the way through. And you think, oh, it's going to be, you know, pretty exciting.
The Dark Crystal has a weird thing where sometimes it's puppets, but sometimes it's just like dwarves that are playing them in sort of long shots and things. So it's quite an odd thing where you suddenly see them running and you go, it's a puppet.
But they do that in Labyrinth as well with the dog, and sometimes it's a puppet dog, and then sometimes it's an actual sheep dog that's running around with a Muppet strapped to its back. And you kind of go, okay.
Anything Jim Henson now just reminds me of the kind of people that come to screenings at the BFI that are so dorky that no one would go but me and Nat. Like, it started off as we point out somebody and go, he looks like he was made by the Jim Henson Creature Shop. But now, in my head, it's the other way around. I can't watch Labyrinth without going, oh, he looks like that guy.
From the that you've seen in the cinema.
Yeah. It's ruined.
I'm the same with Goonies, though. I don't have a big... Like, I kind of like it, but I think I'm done with it. I don't think I need to see it anymore.
I just thought that when I was growing up, it's sort of like Indiana Jones for kids.
Mm.
But I always thought that Indiana Jones was Indiana Jones
also,
for kids.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, I didn't think, I want to be that unpopular kid that's in a gang called the Goonies. I used to think, I want to be Indiana Jones. And so that's what... I wasn't... I was the fat kid. So that was the worst kid out of the Goonies to be. You know, when you go to school and everyone shout and do the truffle shuffle at you, then it's just kind of like the Goonies has a very different connotation growing up, you know? So keep it light. So Seinfeld. Yeah. I really like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I used to get like the box sets every Christmas, mm-hmm. and then I'd watch them on DVD, and the menu screen for Curb Your Enthusiasm just plays the theme tune over and over and over again.
Oh my God.
And what I would do, because it was Christmas, I would be drinking at Christmas with my family, and I'd go to sleep and I'd put on a Curb Your Enthusiasm DVD, and I'd wake up and it'd just be on loop. And it's sort of like subliminally, I'd been listening to that for about 9 hours, and I think that it really does affect your sort of like your mood for the rest of the week, really.
Do you then just get into Larry David style situations?
All sorts of scrapes.
Is it playing in your head?
Saying inappropriate things about people's children, yeah.
The thing is, another thing with that show is that people who don't understand Curb Your Enthusiasm, they go, oh, isn't he awful? And you go, no, he's doing exactly... He's just doing the thing you want to do or you're thinking about doing.
But also, most of the time, he's in the right.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's really frustrating watching other people like just automatically being up, you know, like Ted Danson.
Yeah.
That being angry at him. I mean, you think, come on, Ted, you used to be a legend in Cheers, the prequel to Frasier. It all connects.
Yes. In the final season, that's the one that just happened, I felt that I wasn't on Larry's side all the time, and I thought that was a big flip.
Well, I thought that
was trying to force the situation a bit too much. By the end of the season, he sorted it out.
That was also the thing with One Foot in the Grave, that I always felt like I agreed with Victor Meldrew, even when he was one of those... It's like anyone who's meant to be crotchety and people go, oh, come on, he's awful. You go, no, he's the right. He's been frustrated by something, by other people. That's it. The problem is other people.
Sure.
They're the worst.
Sure. But I would say that although I enjoy watching Curb Your Enthusiasm and I really love Larry David, I would say that show has made me laugh maybe 5 times in all of its... I watch it like... in huge blocks. What do you call it? Binge watching. Mm-hmm.
That's the kids call it.
That's what the kids call it. So I've watched... So I like binge watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Maybe it's because you watch more than one episode in a row, and then all of a sudden you just become like... It becomes more like a ticking off exercise.
Well, bearing
like,
in mind,
right, yeah, I've done that series. Now I'm on to the next. You know.
But we also know now that you've watched them all whilst drunk on Boxing Day.
Not just Boxing Day, mate. All the way into January the 15th. There were long celebrations in the Helm household.
Would you have a favourite episode of Seinfeld?
I like the contest.
The contest, you describe the contest
for
the listeners?
The contest is the one where they make a bet for who can go the longest without wanking.
Yes.
Yes.
And they never say wanking, do they?
No. They ask each other, are you master of your domain? Oh, yeah, I'm queen of the castle. But the first one out is Kramer, obviously, because he's been looking across the street at this naked woman who keeps just wandering nakedly around her apartment.
Again, you couldn't do this now.
No, because now it's bad.
Now it's bad to spy on people.
It's just like, you know, the most wholesome, friendly show on the planet, Friends. And you watch that now.
That's got a naked guy in it.
It's got an ugly naked guy in it. Who they're body shaming every episode that he appears in or doesn't appear in. And all of the storylines in Friends are sort of like kind of dodgy. And it's kind of, you can't go back. You can never go home.
How does Mad About You...
It's great.
Any dodgy storylines in that?
The thing that I'm most surprised about is that it's a show about a married couple, and you know, they do sort of like jokes where he's on the phone to his mum while they're trying to have sex, and he calls his it doesn't matter. We're on the phone to our parents, and one of them says, can you come to the phone, but they're having sex, and then she shouts out, I'm coming, and then you go, oh, it's like I'm coming to the phone in front of my mother, but I'm actually coming orgasm.
Oh, really?
Joke. And you just go, wow, that's really, I wouldn't be expecting that. You wouldn't get that in Friends.
Yes.
And there's also a thing where she teaches him how to change the toilet roll. And you think, oh, right, so they're living in a universe where they actually shit.
Right, yes, they're making references to it.
And that's kind of like unheard of in American TV. Right?
I know, certainly. In fact, you both definitely will have seen this film. Demolition Man has a funny thing where that reference is.
It's like, but Demolition Man, right, it's like my, I mean, I love Sylvester Stallone.
So Demolition Man is a 93?
It was the same year as Cliffhanger, yeah, 93. Mm-hmm.
So a film with Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone set in the future, or is it one of those?
I think it's 2012.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So we've passed it.
Yeah. So we're living in Demolition Man's future now. But Demolition Man is a running joke about the fact that they don't have toilet paper in the future and they use these three seashells. And it's this, and you never find out what the three, although if you Google it, there are theories. But
you never find theories.
Out, you never find out what the three seashells are actually used for. And it's this amazing film where Sylvester Stallone is kind of like, he's sort of like doing this tongue-in-cheek performance. It never kind of like fully goes into pastiche. It's still kind of like, I think it could do and it should do. But it doesn't quite do. It, you know, it should be kind of like an ironic film, but it's not really.
He's but quite naked in that film.
He's really naked, and they famously leaked set photos.
I've seen it.
Yeah,
had it on my phone for a bit.
It's crazy. It's crazy. He wanted them destroyed, and you'd think
why?
Exactly.
It's quite impressive.
You'd think it was because it was a cold day, but. I saw
no
the
shrinkage.
Photo. There's no shrinkage.
That shrinkage is a word that came to us from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yeah.
Another Seinfeld from the Hamptons episode.
The shrinkage.
But a lot of the words came from a guy who, he was one of the first people to write a Seinfeld episode who wasn't Larry David or Jerry Seinfeld. His name's Peter Melman, and I've become pally with him on Twitter. He's the best. But he invented, well, he wrote the episode with the sponge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he invented sponge-worthy, which is a word I use all the time.
And what's it refer to?
Well, Elaine's method of birth control is she uses the Today sponge, which I had never heard of until that episode. And then I had to, like, as a kid, I just thought, I don't know what that is and didn't look it up. And then, like, last year I went, wait, what the fuck is a sponge? Do you know what it is?
Well, I presume it's a sponge.
It's a sponge that you have to, like, shove up yourself. But it's got, like, a long elastic band that I think hangs out and so that you can retrieve it. Or I don't know if you have to, like,
it's good that you can retrieve
to get it back. It's so minging.
Otherwise, you just keep sticking sponges at you.
Mm. Yeah.
You retain it, like, so much water.
And sperm. It just soaks up. It's so disgusting. Anyway.
So what you do, you pull it out with the elastic band, and then you wring it out.
And then just...
and then whack it back up there.
Apparently, you can leave it in for, like, 24 hours. It's fine. And it's filled with spermicide, so it kills everything.
It's weird, though. I've never heard of a sponge.
It's pretty gross.
And is that because it's a 90s thing?
Well, in the episode, it's taken off the market, and then Elaine is freaking out because she loves the sponge. And so she goes around to every general store and chemist to try and get every sponge that's left in the place. She ends up buying a crate. I think it's got, like, 80 sponges in it.
I've got a picture of the sponge right here. It looks like a cross between an eye patch and a catapult.
Yeah, it
doesn't
looks
look
a bit
that
like
dissimilar to our earphones that we've got in our ears right now.
Sure.
Spongy earphones.
And also, just an update there, Demolition Man is set in 2032.
Okay,
I was 20 years
we
off.
We could still be using shells in 2032.
We could.
How do you think we'd use them?
I don't really want to get into it. I'm not that sort of comedian, but I do have an idea of how you would use them. But so the end of Demolition Man,
yes.
Just to go back to that, just to tie up that knot, is you've got Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock walking off into the sunset. Sandra Bullock, obviously star of 2 weeks' Notice. It all connects.
That's fan club.
you've got Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock walking off into the sunset together because, spoiler alert, he saved the day. And and his the last line of the film is him romantically leaning over to Sandra Bullock saying, "So, tell me about the three seashells." So, like, we're living in the future, and Sylvester Stallone is basically the closing line of Demolition Man. It's him leaning over to Sandra Bullock saying, "How'd you wipe your ass again?" It's fucking amazing. Absolutely amazing. And for that reason, Demolition Man is going into fan club.
Yes. Like, it's like Room 101.
But you're keeping it.
Keeping it.
Right.
Have you seen B Movie starring Seinfeld?
No, I haven't.
No. I've sort of seen a bit of it. It's often on TV over Christmas, but it looks like it might be quite hard going.
It's I don't feel it's like
not
I need
better.
To.
It's weird that it's not better than it is.
Yeah.
And do you watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yes.
And what do you think of that?
I really like it. I really like the Sarah Jessica Parker episode is nice because she comes across as just like a nice person.
Yeah, I always get the impression she's
yeah,
nice.
She's sweet,
when David Let... Oh, go on.
No, I was just going to say, like, there's a big feud with her and Kim Cattrall on the internet where she comes across as kind of a bitch, but...
Who, Sarah Jessica Parker?
But she can't possibly be because of that episode.
Yeah,
so.
I think maybe it's Cattrall.
Sure, maybe. But it's nothing but a big PR stunt, is it, for all the people involved in it? Mm-hmm. Everyone comes out of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
My favourite Comedians in Cars episode, though, is the one with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, where he goes over to their house, because they go and watch movies. Watch movies every week together, and they're so old, definitely near dead, and it makes me so sad. But they just sit there and they watch movies, and they've got, like... Their favourite movies all have certain lines, and I think one of the lines is secure the perimeter.
That's nice.
Carl Reiner just fucking loves it.
My least favourite Steve Martin film for a long time was Man with Two Brains, because...
Really?
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Why?
Have you seen Bringing Down the House?
Okay, all right, okay. Right, of the 80s,
okay.
and when Steve Martin was Steve Martin... I watched it again recently, and I just I was in a different mindset. Maybe I was using my other brain, and because that means penis a lot of the times, doesn't it? So I watched Steve Martin's Man with Two Brains just using my dick this time.
That's fan club.
That's fan club. No, it's really good. I gave it another go, and I like it. I really love the first half of The Jerk. That's one of my favourite.
Oh, I love The Jerk.
And then the second half of The Jerk is kind of like a bit like, it gets a bit...
I don't know. I'm all for The Jerk.
I love The Jerk.
I just think the first 40 minutes of The Jerk is some of the best things
I've
ever
seen. Before he's found his special purpose.
When he gets really arrogant, and then it's all like, I just go, like, oh, don't let it go to your head, Naven. but the Man with Two Brains, yeah, it's just... It's like every single scene in the movie is doing a different thing. It's kind of like as an entire film, I guess it works, but when you think about it in terms of the fact that every single scene is like a sketch into itself, then and it's just like, oh, I don't know, I can't describe it really. I guess that's why I got this show. Anyway, moving on.
That was it, wasn't it? Like, really that was Steve Martin and Carl Reiner had a real sort of run of films together. I think that's incredible. What a run.
I haven't seen all of Me in a long time. Anyway, we should probably play a song.
Yes.
What song are we going to play?
I want to play Alice Cooper's Poison.
And is there a reason for that?
Because I think there's a good story about Alice Cooper. Right, so I heard this on WTF with Marc Maron. Alice Cooper was friends with Groucho Marx.
Yes.
And when Groucho Marx was old and was having trouble sleeping, he'd phone up Alice Cooper and say, do you want to come over and watch movies?
Yeah.
So he'd come over and he'd sit beside his bed, and so they'd be watching this old black and white movie, and Groucho Marx would be pointing out which of the actors was gay and which of the actresses Harpo had banged.
Oh, really?
And I just love that picture of them sitting there.
And Alice Cooper used to put his cigars out for him. He'd fall asleep in bed and he'd put his cigars out for him.
Oh.
Really sweet. And Shep Gordon, Alice Cooper's manager, basically sorted out all of Groucho Marx's finances when he was too old.
Superman. Good guy.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Right, okay. I could talk about Alice Cooper for 8 of these episodes.
We'll be right back.
and that was Poisoned by Alice Cooper. She's got a lovely voice, hasn't she?
Did you enjoy that, Nick?
Subconsciously, I did really like the fact that when I was miming along, I was miming along to the backing singers.
Yes, you were. I like, no, it's nice because it feels like you know your place, don't you?
I know my place. I'm not Alice.
You're not worthy.
I'm not worthy. Yeah. I'm not, you know. Anyway.
Another reason I like that song is as a fat teenage goth who grew up in Australia, the line "Black lace on sweat" really speaks to me.
Yeah. I just imagine it's the band Black Lace sweating as they're trolling out another, having a gangbang or something.
Black lace slipping Superman around on a stage covered in sweat.
I think that was the first Alice Cooper song I knew of, I think.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it in primary school and it being a big primary school song.
My sister bought that on single and I was scared of him. Because he had like a skull on his t-shirt.
Yeah.
On the.
I think I thought he was probably new, like a new.
I think that's what a lot of people thought. I mean, that was his album that. This is a slippery, slidey slope that we're on now. That was like his big comeback album. He had like two albums before that, which was Constrictor and Raise Your Fist and Yell, which came out in 1986.
What one was this? 89?
This was 88, I think.
Yes, that would have been.
It's got some good ones on it. It's got Bed of Nails on it.
It's got the whole album. He basically doesn't do anything other than Poison off it live because they're all fucked. Songs.
Yeah. And, it's got Bed of Nails is about doing it.
That album has got Steven Tyler on it, Bon Jovi's on it. It was Desmond Child produced it, so it's got like loads of people from their kind of like wheelhouse. And it was his big. He'd done two sort of like warm up albums, and then that was his big album that brought him right back to the top.
What's remarkable is we have done two episodes of Fan Club. And so far, we've managed to play Alice Cooper both times, once with you. And now it's Hayley Campbell's choice. We've got to keep playing.
It wasn't my fault this time.
No, that was it. It was nice.
Genuinely guessed. But I'm not going to lie. If she hadn't asked for it, I would have played something. Maybe not Poison, because I have heard that song a lot. But I think it's good to remind people why he's an icon. Right, so speaking of icons, who is your pop culture icon, Hayley?
Well, I was asked this, and I said Woody Allen, but it's mainly just old Jews in general. I just seem to worship old Jews, but I do love Woody Allen.
Jewish comedians,
old Jewish comedians, and also like Philip Roth, Don DeLillo, like old Jews. But I find myself defending Woody Allen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we don't know what he did.
No.
But
keep it light.
Yeah, I will defend his films. I love them.
Oh no, yeah, some of them.
There's this argument that we're not allowed to like Woody Allen movies anymore because of whatever, and various people are being cancelled right now all over the place. But I think that's an argument kind of upheld by people who haven't met many artists. If you believe that all artists are good people, then. I don't think that really works.
There's a lot of PR involved these days, but I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? I've never really liked Oasis. I never got into Oasis, mainly because of stuff they said about Damon Albarn in the late 90s.
Right.
And I've never been able to sort of like disassociate that from their actual creative output. But I do like a lot of Woody Allen films.
I like Woody Allen so much that I went to the Royal Albert Hall and I saw him. I saw Woody Allen and his New Orleans jazz band, and it was terrible. Mm. And I was the youngest person there by about 30 years. And I went with my friend Ollie, and at the interval, Woody got up, and it was one of the first times he actually spoke to the audience. So we really were just sitting through what is, no one will ever say, a really shitty band. Like, Woody can't play the clarinet. Mm. And I got that. That's information I only got because I went and I saw.
Right, yeah.
His band is kind of mediocre, but they hold him up, but he can't play. Mm. He got up at the interval and he said, I don't really understand why everybody's come to see this, but if you want to get the jump on the parking lot, now is the chance. You've got 20 minutes, like, run. Right. You don't have to come back. And Ollie just looked at me and he said, I can't take this anymore. I'm so sorry. And he just left. But I sat through the whole thing. It was awful, but, you know, now I've seen him. He was wearing what he always wears.
But when he does that, he doesn't talk to the audience, does he?
No.
So I think
he seemed genuinely baffled that we were there.
Yeah, I find that a bit weird because he does know who he is and he does know, you know, why he has fans. So I went to see Steve Martin. I took my dad to see Steve Martin play banjo at the Hammersmith Apollo. And it was Steve Martin playing banjo at the Hammersmith Apollo. And it's clear that nobody wanted to see that, so like 2 weeks before they arrived, it said playing banjo and comedy, and then it was like, oh right. And so they started marketing it like, oh, he will be talking as well. So I was imagining it would be like a Woody Allen situation where he wouldn't talk to the audience, wouldn't even acknowledge him, and he'd just play. And so when we went, it was, I was excited because it was like, this is the closest I'm probably ever going to get to see
Steve Martin
doing stand-up. And it was sort of like a mix in between where he did sort of, see, he doesn't even sing in his songs. There's another guy that sings. He just plays the banjo. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're watching this guy playing. And then in between, he would do these kind of jokes, like he was forced to do these jokes. But he was really funny. It was really great. I'm glad I saw it. But it is kind of like one of those. It was the Hammersmith Apollo. It probably would have been great in a smaller venue.
Mm.
Where was Woody Allen on?
Royal Albert Hall, which I think is the worst place to hear music because the sound bounces off and it's just really echoey and bad.
Right.
But so might his music be, right? It might not be. He's, I don't know how accomplished he is.
Yeah,
the Royal Albert Hall.
Prince Albert. What?
the Prince Albert Hall is next door.
What's the big round one?
The big round one.
The big round
Hall.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I get that mixed up with the Festival Hall.
Okay. Yeah, Royal Albert Hall. And but I think the right place to see a band like that is just a small club with a low ceiling and where you can actually see him. And I don't know.
Yeah,
it was just
what,
it was
like
bad.
A New York jazz cafe.
A New York jazz cafe thing, which is where he usually plays,
mm-hmm.
and where he was playing the night he won the Oscar for Annie Hall. But he's like, I can't come get it because I'm playing my jazz band.
Sure. I never know how I feel about that, though. I know we're meant to be like, oh, that's really cool, but I always go, oh, come on, mate, go on, get your Oscar. Come on. Oh, sorry, well, I can't do. I'm playing to 40 people in a pub.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, come on.
Because the night that Michael Caine won the Oscar for Hannah and Her Sisters, he really wanted to be there because he was on the set of Jaws the Revenge and he couldn't accept it because he was filming Jaws
the
Revenge.
I mean, I'd say Michael Caine's glasses got Best Supporting Actor that year, didn't they? They're huge.
They were incredible.
His nose should have got Best Supporting Actor for supporting those bloody great big glasses.
Yes.
That's
fan club.
I always forget the name of the film I liked where he's making breakfast at the beginning. Oh. And he's got those big glasses.
The Ipcress File.
The Ipcress File. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant film.
Yeah. The bit with his where he's with the woman and she says, do you always wear your glasses? And he says, well, not in bed. And then she takes them off.
Take them off and it goes blurry. It
goes blurry.
Absolutely brilliant film.
And then he can't find the right hole. So what's your favourite Woody Allen film?
Well, I love Annie Hall, but my second favourite is Crimes and Misdemeanors. Because
which one's, who's in that one?
It's the one
Martin
with,
Landau.
Yeah, Landau. Yeah. So... yeah, the guy who plays Bela Lugosi in Ed Wood. And he is banging Angelica Houston on the side. And then she wants to come and tell his wife that we've been banging for 2 years. And he's like, well, you can't do that. So he's like weighing up whether or not he should have her killed. And it's really dark and deep. And it's not as funny as the other ones. But it's actually hilarious. It's just dark. There's just murder over the top of it.
Sure.
And who else? Alan Alda is in it.
Oh, classic.
wearing a pink jumper, and he's a bit of a prick in
if
it.
If you don't know who Alan Alda is, he's one of the stars of Tower Heist.
And Mia Farrow.
Always.
Keep it light. So, one of the things I find interesting about Annie Hall is that the film that we ended up with, it's one of the films that he's least happy with. And the film that we ended up with was such a bastardization of what he set out to do.
But what films does he like of his then? The terrible ones?
He probably likes
whatever
all
works,
the ones he's
something.
Making now.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Shadows and Fog.
Isn't that meant to be? I've not seen that. Oh, isn't it meant to be? Is it hard work?
It's hard work.
See, he's made a lot of bad films. I really dislike Hannah and Her Sisters. Really dislike it.
Why?
I think that's his worst film.
I really like the bit when he's walking down the road with Diane Wiest and he goes, should we just kiss now and get it out of the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Because then, you know.
Diane Wiest comes back and she's a punk drummer. And it's such a sort of middle class New York idea of what punk music is and everything. It's embarrassing. Hate Hannah and Her Sisters.
Diane Wiest, I always think of in Parenthood holding the giant vibrator in the kitchen. Do you remember that scene?
Oh, yeah, I love
it. But when you look at it now, the vibrator's just regular sized. It's because you're little.
Because you're a kid.
Big. of course, The Lost Boys. So we should probably move on to really quickly.
We should probably play a game.
All right. Okay. It's, we haven't got time for your last category. I'm sorry. But what, out of interest, what was your favourite film?
Favorite film? Oh, Pumping Iron. Oh, I wore a t-shirt.
Oh come on!
Open with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh God, what is it? Oh, I mean, I could. We haven't got time.
Should we do Pumping Iron instead of this?
Tell you what, can you come back another time and talk to us about Pumping Iron?
Sure. I am wearing a shirt that says Arnold is numero uno, though.
I have a t-shirt that says that as well. I've got that t-shirt. It's not as nice as your t-shirt, though.
I wear this to bed. I'm actually wearing my pyjamas. But it is the radio, so it doesn't matter.
I only live around the corner. I mean, this is... That wasn't an invite.
Me too.
Oh, God. Anyway, so...
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
It's now time for the world-famous Nathaniel Metcalf game, Better or Worse.
Okay, Better or Worse is the game where you have to say which of these people is better or worse than the person following, based entirely on my own opinion. Are you ready for the first card?
Yes.
It's Kate Bush. Uh-huh. But is Kate Bush better or worse than Compo from Last of Summer Wine, actor Bill Owen? That's Fan Club.
I think she's worse.
Worse? She's better than...
Why is she better?
Because she did Running Up That Hill.
All right.
He's just Compo. But is Compo better or worse than Clegg, Peter Salas?
Oh, I love Peter Salas. Peter Salas is better. So
he's also Wallace, isn't he?
He's Wallace.
He's
cheese.
You gotta love Peter Salas.
Yeah.
But is Peter Salas better or worse than Robert Englund, the actor who played Freddy Krueger?
Peter Salas is better.
He is, yeah. You're doing well. Is Robert Englund better or worse than James Earl Jones?
What's that from?
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian.
You should know.
I say England is better, but you're not going to...
No, come on.
James Earl Jones is better. He's the dad in Lion King and Star Wars. That's
he's the dad in Star Wars. Is James Earl Jones better or worse than Grace Jones?
He's worse. I love Grace Jones.
I think I love Grace Jones.
Have you seen pictures of her with Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, well...
Did you deliberately pick Grace Jones because she's in Conan the Destroyer?
Oh, no, but I should have done.
Oh, a little fun fact there. There's an Easter egg.
It's Grace Jones. Better or worse than Stephen Burkoff, theatre director and actor.
And star of... I used to say to my teacher that... Stephen Burkoff, my drama teacher. Stephen Burkoff, star of Cindy Crawford's Fair Game and Rambo 2 First Blood.
She's better. Stephen Burkoff, better or worse than Groucho Marx?
Worse.
That's Fan Club. She's worse. Groucho Marx?
Mentioned Groucho Marx twice today?
Yeah, it's the only one. It's the best one. It's Groucho Marx,
just
better or worse.
Rattle through it. Come on, let's keep going.
Then the film Point Blank with Lee Marvin.
Groucho Marx is better.
Okay, last one. Is the film Point Blank better or worse than The Godfather?
It's worse.
The Godfather or Marlon Brando in The Godfather?
Marlon Brando in The Godfather.
He's got his face like puffed out with cotton balls.
He does. Yeah, I guess it is better, won't it? It is. You've done really well. Jack Barry got 4. You've absolutely smashed it.
Just had a bit of a... Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so that is better or worse. If you really love the game Better or Worse, tune in to the last 5 minutes of the show every week and you can hear it without any of the precursor build-up to it. So Jack Barry got 4 out of...
However many.
So he got 4 in the time that we allotted it. I guess that's all it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Hayley, do you know how many Hayley got?
No, but probably
we'll
about 12.
We'll put her on the Saturday kitchen wall and we'll work out what all of our guests have done. And then at the end of the year, we'll... you know, probably be asked to leave the show. Right, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Hayley.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Come to the end of another fun-filled fan club. If you want to give us any suggestions of what we want to talk about at the beginning of each show, then just, you know, keep your opinions to your fucking self. Right? We've got our own lives and we're busy people. Please tweet us with all of your helpful ideas.
We'll be back next week.
I can't work out what button I'm going to be pressing. This is the problem. So, yeah, we're going to end with
Oh, it's a good song, this.
Makes life worthwhile. You are gold and silver.